I'm delighted now to welcome to the program David Tanis. He divides his time between Berkeley, where he is head chef at Chez Panisse, and Paris, where he cooks at home and writes cookbooks. His latest book is Heart of the Artichoke and Other Kitchen Journeys. And he will be here in Santa Fe at Garcia Street Books on Tuesday, the 16th of November at 6 o'clock. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
This is such an interesting book. We had a person last week talking about a book called The Natural Kitchen. Then I started reading your book, and I'm seeing that people are talking about cooking and being in the kitchen in terms of mindfulness and really slowing down. That seems, although you are a chef at a very famous restaurant, that seems to be part of the way you're thinking in the writing of this book.
Well, I think, everything's going too fast these days, and the kitchen is a good place to slow down, and it's a wonderful, pleasant place to be.
Are you able to maintain that in your work as a restaurant chef?
Well, in the restaurant business, things do get rather hectic. I have the good fortune to work in a restaurant where sometimes it's civilized. But even though I've cooked in restaurants for years and years, my favorite thing is still cooking at home. And I think people should be doing more of that. Everybody forgot how.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's beautiful about this book is there's a simplicity and a kind of non-intimidating set of ideas that you put out. Like in the very beginning, you're talking about being at a friend's house and trying to make something to eat, and there's nothing in the kitchen except a box of pancake mix, and you've got some jalapenos, and that's where you start.
Well, yeah, that was a little serendipitous meal that then became one of my little favorite go-to standbys for when I'm cooking for myself. The first section of the book is about cooking for one or cooking for two or sharing a little kitchen. I'm sharing some of my little private kitchen rituals, but I think everybody has kitchen rituals. The simple act of cooking breakfast for oneself can be a kind of great experience, making coffee and toast or whatever one has for breakfast. And there's something about the repetitive action of it that it's another way of looking forward to what you get to eat.
There's the simple act of peeling an apple, which you talk about.
That's one of my favorite things to do. And I'm trying in the book to give people examples of simple pleasures and seasonal pleasures as well. Because, with an apple, the best thing going right now are the new crop apples. And there's nothing that tastes as good as a new crop apple. No comparison between that and one that got stored for a few months. So this is the time now to celebrate apples.
Let's talk for a moment about seasonal cooking. The book is divided into seasons. Some of the recipes are the spring, fall, winter, summer recipes. Summer, fall, that's when the great food is. What about winter? How do you get through the winter if you're really going to commit to seasonal cooking on what is truly available locally in the winter?
Well, there is great food to be had in the winter. And, I like every season of the year. Winter is a great time for root vegetables and squashes, and onions and chicories and radicchios. You may not be able to use things entirely from your local area. I think sometimes people get a little bit, the current trend for eating within your 100-mile radius is a very nice idea, but sometimes you have to get a little help from some place where it's a little bit warmer. So we can augment our good winter root vegetable staples with a little salad from California. I think it's okay.
You spend part of your time here and part of your time in Europe, and you write about having grown up in Ohio where there's virtually no local cuisine, but having discovered some really wonderful, genuinely American cuisine. What falls into good American cuisine?
Well, there's so many things. I mean, at one time in Ohio, there was regional cooking, and it was good. Ohio was all farmland 100 years ago. It's only within the last 50 years that people forgot about that. But there are still strongholds of regional cooking all over the U.S., and I know a lot of people look to, and I do as well, I get a lot of influence from the Mediterranean and from European kitchens, but I still say that regional food anywhere has merit, and there's such a lot of great American traditional cooking, gumbos, chicken and dumplings, all the wonderful fish dishes from the Northeast. And I have a special spot in my heart for New Mexico since I spent about 8 years there.
Yeah, I noticed that in your survival kit, you always have jalapenos.
I have found it necessary to travel with chilies just as a little extra insurance.
What are some examples of a place you've been in a pinch and you needed chilies?
Well, when you find yourself in an airport and forced to eat something cooked by sort of a little corporate restaurant, a few sliced jalapenos can really perk it up a little bit. On the other hand, I'm big for making little impromptu picnics everywhere, so chilies come in handy all the time.
What else is in your survival kit that you carry with you?
Well, it varies a little bit. I like to have a few chiles. I like to have a little sea salt and pepper mill, a pocket knife, a corkscrew, a hunk of cheese, a few limes, those kinds of things so that when you get to your hotel room and you don't have to avail yourself of the horrible stuff in the minibar. You've got a little something that you can subsist on for a little while, and you have some condiments for doctoring what comes your way just in case it's too bland.
Now, you live half the year in Paris, and I was wondering, here we are in places like Santa Fe really talking about and trying to reinstate the farmer's market as the center of our kitchen and of our diet and doing community-supported agriculture and so on. What is it like in Paris? Are people eating, in other words, have some of those traditions been maintained? Have they had to bring them back? How do people buy and eat their food there?
Well, in Europe in general, in France in particular, people still do food shopping on more or less a daily basis because the preference is for fresh, high-quality food, and everybody has a tiny refrigerator, and pretty much everybody has a small kitchen. But part of the whole process of going to the butcher and the baker and the fish man is it's an important process, in the daily cultural life. And there are outdoor markets in Paris every day of the week, and those are subsidized by the government. For one thing, it keeps the feel of Paris there, but also everyone uses them. Everyone goes in their neighborhood to the open air markets to buy vegetables. I have a market in my neighborhood that's there 3 days a week, and it's a great way to sort of go down and get a lettuce, a leek, and a couple of pounds of potatoes. And you're buying them from the guy who grew them.
And so that's the other thing I was going to ask you. They are produced in a way that's more like local farming than industrial farming.
Well, industrial farming is reaching all around the world, and supermarkets are as well. And I think you'll find both ends of the spectrum in France. But I think the emphasis is more on smaller farms. Well, France is a small country. And on a more artisanal kind of farming. The whole world is going corporate. But the French are very concerned about, for instance, what Monsanto is doing to farmers around the world. So the awareness is there.
What about Italy?
I would say the same. Yes. I love to go to markets in Italy because Italy is so vegetable centric and so pro vegetable that it's great just to go and see enormous piles of cauliflower and radicchio in the fall, and everybody's buying.
Have you noticed, having been involved with food for such a and good food and eating food thoughtfully and seasonally and organic food and all of that, have you noticed that it's had a positive effect on your health and those of your friends and colleagues who live and eat the way that you do?
Well, I do think that the kind of food I like to cook is healthy. But I mean, Mostly the food that I like is quite simple. I think the simplest food is the best. I think that I'm more, I think I'm healthier than folks who are subsisting on fast food. I completely do, yes.
What are a couple?
And I'd rather get my vitamins from vegetables than from supplements.
Right.
I'm also in it for the sheer pleasure of cooking and eating, you know.
Well, one can tell that not only from the way the book is written and the recipes, but the photographs in it, which are just beautiful. They make you hungry just looking at them.
Aren't they good? That's my friend Christopher Hirschheimer who took the photographs. And, you know, she was one of the founding editors at Sever magazine when it first came out. And now she's actually publishing her own little journal of seasonal cookbooks under the name Canal House Cooking, which is I would recommend it. But when we went, I went to Christopher's studio in New Jersey, and we shot all the photos together. So I was able to cook all the food, and it was very immediate. Working with natural light, and it was just me in the kitchen and Christopher with the camera. So we managed, and our aim was to make it look all quite edible and quite unstyled.
Do you have a couple of favorite recipes in this book that you'd like to share?
Everybody asks me that. and that's a little bit like asking which one is my favorite kid.
Yeah, right.
But I think I'm most excited about the menus that are appropriate to this season right now. There's a wonderful braised lamb dish with Moroccan spices and prunes and almonds, which is very, very nice for this time of year. But I also have a recipe for a carne adobada because I always have to get a little something New Mexican in every cookbook. I think it's a pretty good version of carne adobada.
Well, I'm looking at the chilled tomato soup with basil right now, and I'm hoping to go home and make some of that this week.
I hope you still have good sweet tomatoes.
Yeah, they're almost gone, but I think we've got a few left.
Good. Well, there's a heavy emphasis on vegetables in all the meals. So even people who don't prefer vegetables, I think, will find a lot of inspiration.
David Tanis is author of the new book, Heart of the Artichoke and Other Kitchen Journeys, a wonderful book, and he will be at Garcia Street Books on Tuesday, the 16th of November at 6 o'clock. Thank you very much for being with us. We look forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you as well.